Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Mel and I'm your host of the She Dares podcast. This is episode 4 of season 2 and I can't quite believe we've made it this far. We've been busy interviewing some amazing women that we've met along our way, who are not the typical multimillionaires and famous people that you get on other shows, but just total superstars like you and me, who have paved their way through life, breaking out of their comfort zones and doing some amazing shit. We want to share those stories with you so you can feel inspired to know that you can do the same no matter what your dreams are. Every episode, I get challenged to push me out of my comfort zone. The guest gets to come up with a dare and give it to me at the end of the show. I really invite every one of you to join in and do these dares with me because it's helped me improve my life. Things that I never thought I could do, I've been amazed that I actually can. And I feel much more confident in myself. There's also nothing more powerful than accountability, so let the community help you. Today we are talking with Hazel Oakes. She's a mural artist and adventurer. We talk about how she started her career in fashion design and about how she decided to leave all of that behind to move towards where she is today. We go into the highs and lows of being in the creative industry and how her whole journey was a pretty squiggly one and not as straightforward as some might think. I wanted to get Hazel on the show because we met online through the Creative Rebels community and we discovered really quickly that we had a shared passion for empowering women. Most of her murals are showcasing the power of being female and I totally fell in love with the work she did and have been following her ever since. Let's get her on the show. Hi Hazel, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Obviously, you know what She Dares is all about. We've been following each other for a while. Can you just let the audience know a little bit about you?
Yeah, I'm Hazel Oakes. I'm an artist and adventurer. And we're going to be talking a bit about my creative career today, but it's been a very winding round the world trip.
So I guess there's probably some pretty pivotal moments in that.
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on anything there?
Yeah, I realize I've pivoted a lot and my path is a bit zigzaggy. It was hard to pick one. The first pivotal moment would definitely be back when I was 16 at school and decided to pursue a creative career. But since then, I can pick out like 3 other huge pivotal moments. Starting my own lingerie brand, leaving the fashion world, and then challenging myself to be a mural artist.
Cool. So you actually studied fashion then?
Yeah. So at 16, I decided that I wanted to do a creative career. And back then, it still was like, how is that going to work? What is a creative career? Mm. And so I decided I wanted to be a fashion designer. So I went to Northumbria University to study fashion design. And I wanted to be a fashion designer. It was the path that I thought I was going to lead.
So what changed for you?
I've always pursued what I was passionate about. So I knew that I needed to have an actual career. So I was so into art when I was younger. It was all about women, the body, bright colours. And it just made sense. Fashion, like, you're a teenage girl. Fashion is the language you speak in.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it made sense. Like, my friends got fashion. So it was like a creative way to communicate. So then I wanted to study. So I went to study and I knew that I needed to learn it all. I had only done art. I hadn't done design. So I was just so keen. I was, you know, researching all the fashion designers, learning as much as I could. I knew I wanted to do women's wear, even though we had to do men's wear for the first year, which I hated. It's just not me. That wasn't where my passion lied. It wasn't necessarily fashion design. It was designing for women. And then I had experience in the industry. I picked a course that had a year out in industry, which was really important for me. I'd actually gone to Central St. Martin's for a week course at 16. My parents let me when I said, no, I really, really want to be a fashion designer. And they're like, but is that a real career? Like, is that actually possible? I was like, yeah, there's all these people, they've done it, like trying to like prove, because all my family were from more traditional careers. And so I didn't know anyone in the creative industry. And so I, you know, did all my research of how and what I needed to do, how to get in and all these sorts of things. And I did a week at Central St. Martin's in fashion design because everyone knows London is the first place to go in the UK. But they said to me, when you come here, we're not teaching you. It's survival of the fittest. And I said, I have no idea about fashion design. There's no way I'm coming to London. Not out of fear, but out of like, I need to learn to be able to get to where I want to in this. So Northumbria was one of the next best in the country to go to for fashion design, and they had a year halfway through the course. It was actually quite weird. It's like after a year and a half of study, you have a year off and then come back for another year and a half study and you go and work in the industry. So I picked that because I wanted to do that. I wanted practical experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than just getting experience, right? You can sit and you can learn for years and years and years, but if you've got no practical experience, then it not that it means nothing, but, you know, I just don't think you can buy experience.
And it made me really realise how much of a learn-on-the-job person I am. Like, I'm really good at thinking on my feet and being in the situation rather than, like, having to already prepare and know so much before I can actually do it.
Yeah. The biggest learning for me, I think, as well, was starting this podcast. First of all, I was trying to learn everything about podcasting. And then I was like, it's not going in. Like, how am I going to do it? But actually, it's just better just to do it, experience it, and then learn, you know, figure it out as you go.
You make the mistakes along the way, but you actually know how to practically do it. And then someone else might be seeing you do it and then they were like, well, you know what you're doing. It's like because of practice. Whereas if you're just trying to know the learning of it, you don't have that in-person confidence.
Totally. And practice makes progress, I think they say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that.
There was a couple of things there that I just wanted to pick up on. Interesting that you had to do menswear first. Is that like something standard in fashion design?
Well, you have to do menswear, womenswear and textile design. So it was like, I think it's so that you pick what you're good at, what you like, in case you don't know. But a lot of people, to get onto a fashion course, you have to do usually a year in college, like after school, where you do every creative subject. So you do photography, illustration, fashion design, and then you specialize and then you apply to university. But I knew already that, oh my God, I would have loved to do that course. I applied to do courses the college foundation year because I knew that it was really hard to get in without it. And I was just coming from an art and school background. And so I applied and I would have loved to do the course. But for me, I was like, it's already going to be another 4 years before I've got the degree and I can get into the industry. So I'm just going to go straight for the university course and see if I get in. And I did. So I didn't go and do the foundation course, even though I know I would have loved it because it was like playing with every subject in art and design.
There you go, breaking out of your comfort zone. Yeah. And good things came out. So what made you switch? Because now you said you're a mural artist.
Yeah. It's a long path. So obviously I went, like I said, straight into degree, knew what I wanted to do, thought I knew what I wanted to do. And then at the end of my degree, I had like a year in industry. I'd worked with some amazing companies, had a full like breadth of fashion industry from high-end designer, fashion week, lingerie company. And I worked for Element in the south of France. So I'd literally like packed my year from start to finish with contracts with different companies. But then still at the end of my degree, I was like, they're really pushing us to either be a high street designer or a catwalk designer. And I don't feel like either of those fit me. There wasn't an independent thinking unless you were starting your own high-end catwalk company. Like there wasn't really anything. It was like, you need to get into industry, high street fashion, that's where all the jobs are. And I didn't feel like a fit in there. And that didn't strike a passion for me.
Yeah.
So I went to this talk for this woman who was she'd set up a master's program in Kingston. And she was talking about how technology becomes part of the body. And it sounds bizarre, but it's like the future of fashion is kind of the way it was put, but about things that are already happened now, but things that are also in the future, like about LEDs running through your veins and that creates what you're wearing. And she was just talking about multidisciplinary design. And it was really intriguing. So I was like, I'd never planned to do a master's. Like I said, for me, I was like, get through the 4 years, get straight into the industry. That's what I'd planned. And then she talked about it and I was like, oh, maybe I'll give it a shot. Like, I wasn't the best designer, I know that, but I'm a super hard worker and I will try my hardest. I was like, I'm just going to apply to that one master's program, see if I get it. I'm planning to move to London anyway, either way. So let's see if I get in and do it part time while I work. And I got in, and it was the best thing, not even for the direction that I thought it was going to go in, but I joined an entrepreneur program while I was there. They have a big business school at Kingston. And I was also working as a bridal consultant. And I, yeah, got to learn about business skills, pitching yourself, having big ideas and creating your own job, and this side of it, which I had no idea about. And all of the briefs as well that on the master's program were really open. And we were collaborating with like big brands, but not fashion brands, like scent brands, but creating a fashion image from it. And this sort of thing, it was about how you bring two different industries together. And there was briefs where it was all with all the different designers from the design school. So you were really collaborating together. Mm-hmm. And this then obviously started me on the motion of what I am today. But there was a lot of different things that happened on the way.
Interesting. So where are you today? And then maybe we can get into some, like, you know, highs and lows of your journey there.
Yeah. So when you're saying about like daring yourself, I have always loved street art. I have gone all around the world in a search for street art. I love murals. And then one day I just decided I want to be a mural artist. And I painted my first mural. And then I decided to set up my own freelance company called Nocciola the Drawer, where I'm a freelance digital artist, but also a mural artist.
That's so inspiring. So like, from being a fashion designer, going through this master's program, you just decided, I'm just going to do a mural. Like, and when you say mural, was this the definition of that? Is that something like that you paint outside, or what's...
I put my first one I painted was outside. A mural definition, I guess, is a large scale piece of artwork. So I actually painted like a really huge, like door size piece when I was doing art at A level. And so I feel like that was probably my first mural, but I didn't realize. But I loved working at that huge scale and the impact it had when people saw it. Mm-hmm. But it's all that connection. Like, you don't see all the connections until you look back. Like, I've been obsessed with street art for ages, and large scale work and public artwork and the effect it has on people and how it can surprise you and people that aren't maybe usually going out looking for artwork see it, and how that effect has on people and the surrounding. But mm-hmm. it's just, I hadn't really like thought this is what I want to do. Until I kind of, I don't even know where all the cogs came together. Yeah. But I had originally started a lingerie brand back from the master's program. That was my first business. And then I decided I wanted to leave the fashion industry. And so I went traveling and living around the world. And then, yeah, it's kind of full circle back. I always knew I was going to start my own thing again. But that whole time I was like, what's it going to be? I don't know. So it kind of was always in the back of my mind.
Were you ever in that space where you literally just didn't know what you were going to do next? And how long, if you were there, did that last? Because I think a lot of people would resonate with that, you know?
I've had a lot of ideas that have failed, or that I've tried, thought, oh, I could do this because it makes sense with what I'm doing now, or how I want to live. Like, I like moving around. So when I started the lingerie brand, it was really set up in London, and it didn't have the aspect for me to be able to live a more like nomadic lifestyle and move to different places. And that was one thing I learned from that I was like, if I set something up again, I want it to be that I don't have to be in a particular place if I don't want to be. So I knew that aspect of it. I didn't even 100% know if it would be something as creative as what I'm doing now. It could have been using, you know, my creative thinking or visually seeing things. Like, I've been a freelance photographer as well, but because I always take photos. But for me, photography is more about capturing the moment and my memories, and also using that imagery as part of like the design process. It's something, you know, I learned from learning fashion design, using the visuals to build up to then create the design, which is like what I do now. But I couldn't see all those things, but it was always on the back of my mind. I tried blogging, I tried all sorts, so I guess it was just always there, I knew I was going to, but it really had to be true to who I am, the life that I want to leave and the messages that I want to put out there.
You've done so much. How are you feeling with being a mural artist now? How long have you been a mural artist, actually?
I started just before the pandemic. So it's not been that long, but because I have for so long had this building this creative identity and visual language from when I was doing art at school and experimenting with every artistic thing in between, as soon as I then decided to do that first mural, from there, I've known exactly what message I want to get across, what style my style is. It's very unique. You can see my pieces and, bright, bold, colourful, with lively patterns. And then everything I've done since, from all the things before, I've known I've got to put myself out there. I've got to be true to what my message is. I've got to just keep at it. And I'm not saying there's no point in there where I've been is this going to work? Of course. But it just felt so right.
What was the first mural that you actually did?
So I was if I'm going to be a mural artist, I need to know how to do a mural first. My boyfriend was oh, there's this YouTuber, 1000. He's a mural artist that was based in Seattle. And I think you'd really like his stuff. And so I looked at his YouTube channel and, his stuff was really bright, bold, and his style is really unique. But it was actually the first time that I really thought, oh, I can paint people any color I want. They don't have to be skin color, because in fashion, we had to have natural color skin in our illustrations and that sort of thing. And I really struggled with that because I also love face paint. So if you look at my drawings and that, there is, if they've been body painted or face painted or something like that. And his stuff was all different colors. And I was now it was kind of permission. I was I can do whatever I like. And so the first one I did was Embrace the Seasons in my back garden. I have a wall and I was that's a blank wall. I need to know how to do this. Let's figure it out. And I did my first mural and I still love it, that one. It's exactly the message that I want to get across, the style with the colouring. Yeah, it's four women representing the different seasons and really embracing those seasons, whether it's the wind in your hair on a spring day or eating your ice cream after going swimming on a hot sunny day, or, enjoying the rain even though it's a miserable day, and then embracing the snow. And a lot of those lessons of what's in that messaging has come from me traveling and living in different places.
That's amazing. I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
I was quite impressed with myself, to be honest.
but actually, it's interesting because throughout the dares that people have been giving me, I think it was Anna's episode in season one. She tasked me with doing something creative, and I've never drawn anything before. And then I drew my back terrace, and I was like, wow, actually, that's pretty good.
I know, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, you just don't know until you try.
Yeah, that is exactly what I say. You don't know until you try. And it's the trying. Quite often, you're thinking about it and you think, oh, I can't do this, or how am I going to do that? But like we said before, when you actually get the practical, when you're in the situation, you're like, what is the next step that I need to do to be able to do this?
Mm. And you might love it. You might hate it, but you might love it. But you would never know until you try.
And that was the other thing. I was like, oh, I need to know if I actually like creating on such a large scale. And I do, because I'm quite an active person. And murals, combining my active self with my art self. And I like it.
I mean, a creative career can be seen as quite a tough thing to do, right? Because there's a lot of interpretation in creativity, and in terms of making a business out of it can be quite tricky. Has there been any highs and lows for you that you want to highlight?
I think quite often with creative people, it does come a lot from your passion for the subject, whatever creative industry you're in, or your interest in it. So we've kind of created this society that doesn't value the creative industry as much because the people that are doing it have such passion for it. So it's like, you know, you would do it even if you weren't getting paid, but that's not the point. Like,
no,
the amount of time it's got to get me there. Like, from what I'm doing now, it's been all of the knowledge that I've gained from working in fashion, from in design, even all the different things I've done in between, that's all added up to where I am now. So even if, like, my Natola the Drawer hasn't been for that long, I've got all of these other years of experience before that have led me to this. So I guess the lows would be people not valuing the work. But then on the other aspect, when people do, it's such a high because you're like, you understand how much hard work goes into this. Like, even doing a large scale mural, I did one last month that took me 11 days, 11 long days, wow, because it was 72 square meters. Like, it was massive. And, amazing, you know, I was up and down scaffolding every day and drawing it freehand. And so it takes a lot of physical effort as well as mental effort, making sure you're getting everything in the right place and everything's finished perfectly. But when people do value what you're doing, you're with the right people. And I think sometimes, you know, how do you start from me going to do my first mural to actually getting clients? Like, there's a lot of build up, and I was doing that like during the pandemic, but actually that probably helped me because I was so focused on, okay, I need to have my website, I need to have a clear brand vision, I need to share what my message is and show them what I can do. So then obviously you're pitching, and you might be pitching to people that don't understand the work that's gone behind it, or they don't value what it is that you're presenting to them, but they're not who you should be pitching to then if they don't see it. So it can feel like rejection, but that is one thing with the creative industry. You're going to get a lot of rejection. You're going to get a lot of people that don't understand, but there is so many other people that do. You just have to find them.
Yeah. And I think I've surrounded myself with a lot of creative people as well. And, you know, they suffer a lot from pitching and then getting rejections. But actually, when they looked at it, they were like, actually, those people weren't really aligned with my values anyway. What I was going for was, you know, they'd probably have the money to pay for something like this, mm-hmm, because they were quite new and quite raw in the pitching kind of business. And then they realized actually it would have been not very good anyway. But hindsight's, you know, hindsight.
So. Yeah, yeah, exactly. At the time, it can feel like, oh, how many no's have I had this week? But the ones that do say yes, or even the ones that say yes straight away, you're like, I've pitched to the right person here because I love what they're doing and they love what I'm doing and we create something together, and that feels amazing.
Yeah, if you can find someone that's completely aligned with you and your vision, then it's much easier. And going back to your point about, you know, seeing the people that actually value you, I think someone once told me, as part of like a business mastermind or something, that you're never just paying for a mural, right? Or a website or something like that. You're paying for all the 20 years of experience behind that. That's what you're paying for, you know, because anyone could say, hey, I can do this. I can do a mural.
And it really is about knowing your worth. And I think that is the worst part of the creative industry, because if I think about being back at fashion design uni, they basically told us, like, do everything for free, just get in there, get a high name on your CV, it doesn't matter. And it's like, what? Like, I saw people doing that and they hated their lives. Like, they were like put on the sewing machine and in a basement in London just so that they could have a high-end designer on their CV. And I didn't go for that. For me, I, even with the fashion things, like, I do feel like they breed a mind of work for free. And I just think it's wrong, because then the whole industry is behind, because all other industries never say, like, go work for free after you've graduated or something. Like, it's mad. Like, you've learned all this amount. Yeah, you still got a lot to go. But there's like graduate schemes and all this sort of thing. But the fashion industry doesn't. They're like, die for fashion. Like,
Yeah, that's a really horrible lesson, I think, to learn as well, because you can also get stuck then. You know, you start learn, you work for free for a bit, and then you start pricing yourself at like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 euros, pounds an hour or something. And then, you know, then you never get out of that cycle, and then mm-hmm. you're always seen as a cheap one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, then starting from what I'm doing now, like, I mean, we met in a creative group, but you're seeing people, and it's even, it feels like it's damaging the industry, but also damages like how you feel about yourself and your work as well. So I think it's so important that there are people that are putting out information there that are trying to help the industry. And so if everyone has to that standard, it's not saying like, you've got to pay me millions because that's what I'm worth. It's just about having a level in the industry that we work from, not go below.
Who are your main supporters on your journey?
I have an amazing support crew. I feel like I have a band of girlfriends from school who, you know, none of them are in the creative industries, but they are my biggest cheerleaders. Mm. And then my mum and dad, like, as much they most of the time have no idea what it is that I'm actually doing. Like, I come with an idea and they're like, how are you going to do that? They'll still like help with the practical thing, like, dad, can I borrow your ladders? Like, and I've even had dad come with me to murals where it's like in a stairwell. So I'm up a really tall ladder, but like on a plank because of the stairs. So he held my ladder. And so, yeah, they support me, even though from day one, me saying I want to be a fashion designer, they were like, how do you even do that? So they've never really known exactly like what it is and how they can help me get there. But when I've come with my crazy ideas, they're like, okay, anything we can do?
Yeah, that's nice. It must have been hard for them because they're not very creative. You said, you know, your family's got very kind of practical jobs. Then it must be hard for them to try and understand what you're doing. But it's so nice that they're behind you. And
yeah, and even though they're like, is this going to work? Like, yes, it will. Because I think at this point, they know if I have an idea, I'm going for it, whether they're supporting me or not. So it's easier for them than just to say, we support you.
Yeah.
My girlfriends and the people that I've met along the way cheering me on. So, and then my boyfriend, he's got a really meticulous eye. So I will send him pictures like of murals. Can you see anything that's out of place? Like, does he really like notice the smallest little thing, which really helps when you've been staring at a wall for 8 hours?
That's good. So you mentioned there that, you know, your parents were asking you, is it going to work? Was there anything in your career where you were like, this doesn't work, or that didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to?
Oh, I feel like there must be so many moments like that. Like when you try so many different things, there's always things that don't work. I guess it's even some of the things that I've said before, like, you know, I thought I would do my 4-year degree. Well, it was 3 years with a year in industry, and then I go straight to a fashion house, and it wasn't what I planned. So then I had a new plan. And then from that, I, you know, started my fashion brand, lingerie brand, and then decided that wasn't right either. So there's so many times, but I've always gone with my gut. And the hardest thing was actually deciding I wasn't going to go back to the fashion industry. I think I thought, because I'd spent so long studying, working in it, and it had kind of, you know, taken over my life. And that's what my passion was. And everyone knew, like, that's what the way I was going. It was then admitting that that wasn't what I wanted anymore. And that was probably the hardest thing, even admitting to myself, let alone telling other people. Because I think for a while I thought, you know what, I might end up going back in fashion, but maybe it's a different area. But then actually fully being like, no, like, especially, you know, then I'm launching as a mural artist and illustrator. That felt so right to me, even though other people probably thought, oh, I thought you'd maybe go back into fashion or something.
I can totally identify with that, because in the last years, I've kind of made a bit of a shift and I've spent my whole career in technology. And then you could just kind of go, I actually don't like tech anymore. And then I had all these people going, yeah, but tech makes you money and, you know, you could do all this and you could be remote. And I was like, I just don't like it. I just don't want to do it. So,
and I think that's the most important, because And I think that's what's the hardest in the society we are. They're like, oh, you could do this or you should do this. And I feel like could and should be words that aren't. It's like, what do you want to do? Because when you really want something, you will go for it. And you, on those days when it's not working out, your passion for it will take over.
It drives you then, yeah.
Exactly. Whereas if it's something that you're doing just because it makes you good money, but your goal, your goal could be that I want a job that makes me really good money, then that's your drive. But if your drive isn't that, if you're feeling your pull somewhere else, you have to go for it. And I thought that at one point, I was like, I've said that I've made a lot of pivots and it's been a bit zigzag to get to here. At one point, I came back to London and I was like, well, my friends live there. I should probably move back to London because I didn't know where I wanted to live anymore. But I needed money. I was like, I'm going to have to get a job with loads of money then. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll go into marketing because I really need to learn that for when I create my own business again. So I thought that's what I wanted. And I actually got interviews with huge companies and I got in there from pitching myself, but I didn't get any of the roles. And I'm glad I didn't, because then I wouldn't be where I am now. And it was a tool for me. I was trying to do that so that I could learn something that would help me that I knew I wanted along the road. So, that's not my driver. My driver, even with that, was to learn something that I needed for later on.
Have you ever cared about the opinions of others?
I feel like it's hard. And I did put an Instagram post kind of about this the other day. As a person, like as who I am, I've always shown up as like who I am. And not really cared, but not in a sense of like, I don't care what you think. It's like, this is who I am. I hope you like it. But with creativity, like I said before, with creative industries, quite often people that are in it is because they have a passion for it. They love it. So it feels personal. So I knew from when I did art, my artwork wasn't what other people liked when they came into the art department. People weren't coming in and going, oh, wow, like, whereas they were about other people's that were more traditional paintings. But for me, I loved the process and my art teacher was really behind me and she let me experiment with everything and try everything and follow the process of it. And I was really happy with everything that I created. So I knew that, like, I wasn't traditionally what people would like with my creativity, but then it was jumping to what I'm doing now. Maybe I'd known all along that I wanted to do murals. I'd been obsessed with street art, but hadn't thought or known it was a career. And so for me, all of my artwork, I'm not just a mural artist in the fact of I can paint a mural what you would like. My image and style is particular, so it has to match with who I'm working with. But it was the actual showing of the progress on a massive wall. There's parts where it's so messy. You don't know what it's going to look like because you're creating something so large scale. And I use a thing called the doodle grid, which is to help me get the image on the wall from what I've designed so that I know the scale that it goes on and what parts go where. And it looks a mess. Like, it doesn't look pretty. So it was that thinking about, when I decided, oh, I want to do murals, I was like, I'm going to have to get really comfortable with people seeing my work in progress and not care what they think. And it really is working. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get. Mm-hmm. Like, at first you're like, oh, in 3 days, it'll look really great. Come back. Like, you might not be able to tell what it looks like now, because like, if you're painting on a public street where there's so many people walking past every day and asking, oh, what are you painting? Now I always print off an image of what my final thing will be and stick it to my trolley or my stepladders or something so they can see if they're not someone who is really visual. But it was just getting comfortable with like leaving your work half finished in the middle of the street, like, and coming back the next day and not caring that people are going to look at it and be like, oh, that's rubbish, because it's not finished. But people might even think that when it's finished, but it's just not their style. It's art. So it's really subjective.
What were your biggest fears when stepping out of fashion into mural?
I had created an amazing CV with fashion. Like, I was doing like internships and I was like everything in my CV showed like how good I would be at fashion. Like it was like perfectly curated with so much experience and different parts of industry and what I could do in my portfolio. And when I, and then started my lingerie brand, so it kind of felt like I'd been building. And as a CV, it looked fantastic. And actually that was my biggest fear. My CV was going to be a mess because I knew that like what I was leaving to get from fashion design to illustrator, I've had lots of different things in between, but they are what like inspire what I'm creating now. But I was like, my CV looks horrible. And that was like the worst thing, because I feel like we are brought up to make sure our CV looks good. You know, even applying to university, make sure you've got all these things so that you can get in. And it's really put the pressure on, and probably is even so now. But my career has been a squiggly career. It's been all over the place. And to me, it makes sense with what I've wanted to do and going on the next step to build to where I am now. But my biggest fear was like, who's going to employ me when it looks so, my CV looks so bad?
Do you have to show your CV now though?
Not really now. And that's the thing. Like some things you do when you're pitching, it depends what it is you're going for. Right. And I still put my CV in and it's fine. But I think it's because in my mindset, I was thinking more like jobs, whereas I'm now freelance. So everything is really showing what I've done before and how it's relevant to this project. So really, no, that's what I'm saying. Like that was my biggest fear. And because of how I've created what I'm doing now, it's not. And sometimes I do have the odd, oh, when it's something, I'm pitching something and they're like, and can we see your CV? And you're like, oh, like, are you sure? But I'm like, actually, I'm really proud of everything that I've done on there. It's just when I was in the fashion industry, it was so like fashion. And now it's not.
And I think it's probably society that's embedded this thought for everyone that a CV needs to look a specific way, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That it's like, you know, you have job here for a year or job here for a year, and then you've got your education, then you've got, and it's like, and you should be doing the thing that you studied.
Yes.
And you should be, and you know, that's just not how it works. I mean, through all the people that we've interviewed in the last series, no one's career or no one's life was how they'd planned out. They'd always done a multitude of other things, you know, and it just happened. Not completely by accident, but it happened through a series of events and experiences.
Exactly. So you can't live your life to make the perfect CV because you'll miss out on so much.
Yeah. It's like you need to just go out and experience. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and just, yeah, and meet people. And I think a very key point that I wanted to touch on, we met through a podcast, actually. And so we were both listening to the podcast. They put on a Zoom event where we could ask questions. And then we met, and now I've got you on the podcast and we've been interacting, and I love your work. And, you know, you've met some of the people that I've been interacting with. Building our networks, it's just amazing, putting yourself out of there.
Exactly. And that's the thing also when you know, there was lots of people on that Zoom, but it's, you know, I saw She Dares and I was like, even just those words, I was like, that's exactly what the sort of thing that I would go for. So, you know, and then obviously I looked at what you're creating as well with the She Dares community, and I was like, that's everything that I'm aligned with, my values as well. So we wouldn't have come across each other maybe if it just because we're not in the same place, but power of Zoom.
Exactly. So as you know, everyone at the end of the show gets to give me a dare. Have you thought of one?
Yes, I have. Okay. So I have mentioned before that all of my artwork is really bright colours, any colour of the rainbow, and that I also love face paint. So you are based in Austria, which is the home of the World Body Painting Championships. So yeah. My dare is to body paint yourself. So I would recommend the face paint Snazaroo because it has really good Snazaroo.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's a kid's face paint, but you get like a palette of it. You can buy just one colour. but it has really good body coverage. I've painted myself quite a few times, and I've been to the World Body Painting Championships in Austria. And the reason why is quite a daring thing, because I think quite often, like we said about society tries to make us want to fit in. If uh-huh. you are walking down the street painted a bright color, you're not going to fit in. And so I really want to dare you to make yourself stand out. So the okay. dare is to body paint yourself. It can be any color. Like, you don't have to be naked or anything. Like, it's like about, like, I've done it before where I've painted myself bright pink, but you wear like a bright pink t-shirt and bright pink shorts. So you're all okay. one color. Or you can be a persona, like I've done. I dressed up as Poison Ivy, so I painted myself completely green.
Amazing.
Wore a little green dress. But this was actually the moment that I really saw, like, how you can be more confident in yourself. Is I was walking with two friends that weren't in fancy dress down the main street of Newcastle, painted bright green, and we were just having, like, a normal chat. And and I just felt really confident. Green is my confident colour, I think, with body paint, because I've done it before as well as a witch on Halloween. And I was on the train in London, and I got a lot of stares. But yeah. it was about, I felt confident in my body, but also being creative. So you can get as creative with it as you would like. And I would recommend go outside. If you feel confident, go outside and, I don't know, walk down a street.
I can do that for sure.
And don't use too much water, because you want a nice colour coverage. And don't fall asleep painted, because it's harder to get off the next day.
Okay, fair enough. So is there like a maximum amount of hours that I should be painted?
No, like, it's fine. It's just one time I couldn't be bothered to wash it off, because it can be a bit of effort to wash off. So I was like, because once it's dry, as long as you aren't near water, it'll stay on your body. So don't like lean on anything that's wet, because it will then run off, but it'll stay on. So I was like, I'm just going to go to sleep and I'll wash it off tomorrow because I'm too tired. And then I had to like proper soak myself in the bath, because it was like in my skin. But no, it's a child safety one, the one I recommended. So it washes off easy, but okay. it's just that I stayed overnight with it on.
Perfect. Cool. So thanks so much for being on the show. Where can people find you online?
My artist name is Nocciola the Drawer, which is actually a bit tricky for English speaking countries, but it actually means hazelnut in Italian. And I lived in Italy and worked in Italy for a few years. And my name Hazel was really difficult. I didn't realize when I moved there, I didn't speak Italian, but they don't have the H in their language. So my name was really complicated when I was introducing myself to everyone. So I ended up adopting the name Nocciola, which means hazelnut, because hazelnuts are everywhere there. Nutella's from Italy. You get gelato, which is Nocciola flavor, which is so good. And so I ended up adopting Nocciola. My boyfriend's family are all Italian. Like, his little niece was like, is Nocciolina, like little hazelnut there? And then that's become my artist name. Nocciola the Drawer. So you can find me online, Instagram, YouTube, and my website is all under that name. If you don't know how to spell it, just Google hazelnut in Italian.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. See you soon.
So I've just been given the dare by Hazel, and now I'm just looking online to see if I can find some Smazaroo face paint. It looks like the pink that I want is out of stock, so I'm gonna have to do a little bit more checking, because it's made in the UK, and since Brexit I can't get stuff like that here without a huge tax. But I'm looking, so I will do some research and let you know. Ooh, just got the delivery of my Nazaree stuff. Some makeup brushes. Got black, got blue, pink, white, yellow. Awesome. I had some thoughts on what I could be body painted with, and like, I've been looking on Pinterest, and wow, there are some amazing things on there. But I think, you know, it's going to be pretty difficult to do that by myself. So then I thought I'd just do like a She Dares themed one, but rather than just putting the logo all over me,
maybe I'll ask my friends what they think, but then I need more people to help me because I could only really do my face. And then I thought doing some kind of geometric shapes, maybe like David Bowie style, a bit cliche. I need some more time to think about it. So it's been raining for the last few days, and it's been really tough to find a day where I have some people to help me paint. So it's been a bit delayed. I'm off to Norway for a short break. So I'm going to actually take the paint with me and do it there and kind of turn it into a bit of a evening, I think, or a day activity. Let's see how it goes.
Just doing some testers with some friends.
So this stuff comes off easily, right?
Don't know. Never
she
tested it.
She says with a green face.
This is the test.
Right. Well, yeah. Flying with a green face tomorrow.
So I brought the face paints along to the holiday just to see if everyone would help me paint myself. And it turns out that everyone else is being face painted except for me. I have a Tuborg beer can being painted to the left of me. A pink-nosed, I don't know, guy. And something that resembles a... I'm not quite sure. She says it's a bird. I disagree. Let's see. There's a lot of trust gone into my friends here. It started out with two guys with sponges going very erratically around my face with black. But I think... Sam, my wife's managed to save the day.
Sorry, guys. I think looks like we're doing some kind of sacrificial. What are we doing with Mel?
At the end.
To who are we giving her? What is our wish or hope?
Okay, well, it's done. I'm not sure what I look like. I feel a bit freaky, actually. But I think the guys did a really, really good job, and I did some geometric shapes on my arm. Pretty happy with how it turned out. I didn't go below the belly, unfortunately, because there's not many, well, we're in the middle of a mountain, so there's not any people to go out and show. But I promise you, Hazel, this is not the last body painting adventure I will go on. It's actually been very fun. Thank you for the dare.
If you want to check out how the dare went down, there's a reel on Instagram for every single one of them. Follow us at _shedares and let me know if you decide to do any of them with me. I'd love to see what you get up to.